Well, I want to welcome you guys here tonight to River of Life. And oh boy, have we got to enjoy his presence and his glory and his power just filling us, surrounding us, and well, just feeling his hugs and even his kisses on our cheeks and on our head. Oh my gosh, it was beautiful. Good job, guys. Thank you so much. That was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So, well, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go ahead and get into the teaching, okay? So, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. You didn't leave us as orphans, but you have come to us by your Spirit to be just like you would be here, but you know what? You live inside of us. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Without you, we can't understand anything. We need you to help us. Give us spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear, oh Lord, and just a heart that's ready to receive and understand, and that we would take the truth, oh Lord, and apply that truth, and from that truth, oh Lord, set us free. Help us to learn and understand and grow in you and your word. We thank you, Lord, in every way have your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get started. So this is kind of a series of faith fundamentals, and today we're going to be talking about faith, friend, hope. Hope is important. Proceeding in these teachings, if you haven't heard these teachings, they are on Podbean. One is called This is Faith. And the main thrust of that is keep your eyes on Jesus, right? He's the one that everything is in, through, because, everything. So if you can keep your eyes on Jesus, then you can walk in faith in this life. And then in that teaching, you'll hear the second thing is kind of like it. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep keeping your eyes on Jesus, and you'll be able to walk in faith. And the third is just like keeping your eyes on Jesus. Can you see the theme? The whole theme is trying to get your eyes off of you. It's all about Jesus, what he did, what he has given us, you know? It's a great teaching. Please listen to it when you get a chance. This next teaching was grace and faith are married. You know, we teach a lot about grace, and it's so important because that's been lost in the past, but we have got a foundation in grace now. But just before that move was the teaching in a move on faith. We had all these faith preachers coming out. God wanted us to know and understand faith. But just because grace came didn't mean that faith faded away. Faith and grace, they work together. They can't work without each other, at least not in our lives. Grace can be there but not accessible without faith. So grace is married to faith. The next one is faith, friend, is love. We have to understand it doesn't have anything to do with what we do. It has to do with God loving us. You know, that he proved his love and that he was even willing to become a man and die on the cross for us, to even go to hell for us. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with his love. That's what has made you deserving of everything he wants to bestow on you. If we look at ourselves, we'll fall short every time of deserving anything from God. So if we keep our eyes on him and the love he has for us, then faith can arise, you know? So faith works by that love, knowing and understanding that love. Perfect love casts out fear, right? We start fearing, oh, God cannot do this for me, you know? But when you know the perfect love of Christ, if you really understand that and you're majoring on that, fear doesn't stand a chance, and faith can arise. Hallelujah. But today, we're going to talk about faith, friend, hope. Okay? Hope is very important. A lot of times, we talk about aspects of hope as if it was faith, but faith and hope are different. Okay? So let's start where it says A, faith, friends, hope. Number one says, hope precedes faith. If hope doesn't come first, faith will not come. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped, is your feeling, hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Notice hope has to come before faith comes. Faith is important, but hope is also very important. So faith can't operate, is your fill-in, without hope. Hope is the spiritual reality, fill-in spiritual reality, of what God has for us. Faith makes that a natural reality on the earth. Because spiritual reality, we have been given everything in Christ by his grace. Everything we could ever need or even hope for is all been given to us in and through Christ, in the Spirit, in glory. But it doesn't do anything in us any good where it's there, but we need want it to do us good here in this reality. So that is what we want to. We want to understand these principles so that we can walk these things out. So we don't stumble, we don't miss a step, you know, we have understanding on how things work and how things operate in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is a spiritual kingdom. So just like we have laws that we have to operate here, otherwise things aren't going to happen, you know, like the law of gravity, you know, if you get on the roof and you try to jump off, you know, you're probably going to get hurt because of that law. You know, you're not going to circumvent that law. Well, there's laws in the kingdom of Jesus Christ also. They're all laid out in his word. Okay, so if we understand these principles, then we can operate, you know, without tripping and falling and going into a ditch here or a ditch there, you know, in the spirit. So let's see. B says hope is similar to providing blueprints, but faith builds the building. Becky can tell you it's very important that there is blueprints. You don't want just people to just go out there and start building something. It's not going to work. So, you know, when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, I believe in his heart, he had all the billions of little details already worked out. And then he said, light be. He didn't have to spell out every little thing of the billions and billions of little details that had to be put in place for things to work. But I believe he had it all, like an architect, already had it fashioned in his heart. And when he said, light be, then all that was carried forth. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it came to be. The Holy Spirit built everything you see. Everything that was built that we see came out of the Spirit, by the way, right? We think this is odd. Oh, we got to get things out of the Spirit. But really, everything that we see, that we look, that we touch, and we feel, actually came out of the Spirit. It didn't exist other, you know, before that. So C says, faith and hope are not the same. Now abides faith, hope, and love. This is 1 Corinthians 13:13. Because some people are like, why isn't it the same? No, they're very different. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And the last teaching we taught about love, and it is so, so important. Hope is a confident expectation for future good. Faith is always now. Now faith is, Hebrews 11:1, as we read earlier, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Many say they are hoping they will be healed, but they don't experience healing. When this happens, faith usually gets a bad rap. They will say, faith didn't work. No, faith does work, right? Maybe instead there were some missteps on their part. Okay, so I have an example of a cake box, mixed box. Here you're walking through the supermarket and you see this cake and, oh, there's a chocolate cake with all that rich icing, chocolate icing on it and everything. And, oh, it's even my favorite, just like my mom. It's like it's actually a yellow cake mix and it's got the filling in there with pineapple in there, you know. And I don't know how my mom did it, but every time she made it, it was so moist, you know. Oh, I can't stand a dry cake. Ugh. But when it's moist, oh, it's the best, you know. I'm looking at that, and that sounds so good. So I take the cake box, And then I pay for it and I go home. And I open up the box and start trying to eat the stuff right out of the box. This isn't what was promised me. Right? And a lot of times that's what we do. We take the promises of God and we're like, we miss a bunch of steps and we say, well, no, it doesn't work. It's not what was promised. But if you look and see what it says on the back, there's instructions. There's things that you need to do. There's steps that you have to take, you know. So if you take all the steps they say, then what you have to do is then it gives you what's promised. Okay? Hope is one of those steps that we must see and understand that we have to do. It could be a misstep, or at least that you're not understanding how it works. Hope is important. Okay? Hope always precedes faith. Ephesians 1, 12, and 13. So that he who first trusted or hoped in Christ should be the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted or hoped after you heard the word of truth. So hope comes when you hear the word of truth. So we had one lady visiting and everything. I'd never seen it before. And she was seeing everything happen and people dancing and rejoicing and praising God. And then we had words of prophecy and we had words of knowledge. And I could just see the look on her face like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, you know? But when I look back again, it was like I saw her as a little child. And she's like, oh, I want that. And then she saw something, oh, I want that too. It was like, oh, I'm like looking at her like, okay, Lord, what's going on, you know? But, you know, all of a sudden, because of what she saw, there's this truth that she had presented before her. All of a sudden, it became real to her, a possibility to her. So, and then along that line, the reason I believe the Lord showed us that is I wasn't even supposed to be in the prophetic rooms. Me and Diane and everything, but we had so many people that Pastor Kimberly says, how can you come help? So we go in there, and who comes walking in? That girl. And I was so excited, and she's like, wow, you're really excited to see me. I'm like, yeah. There's a reason. That was what, you know, there was a reason why God was showing me all this, you know. So I was able to share with her, but anyway. She saw something played out, something that truth played out in front of her. And because of that, what I was telling her is this is a new possibility for you, you know. Before that, she's like, she didn't even know this stuff was available, right? If you don't even know something is available for you in truth and promised by the Lord, then you're not even going to know to even start hoping for it, all right? So the journey begins, or starting out, always begins with the word of truth, hearing the word of truth, and then hope comes, which is part of the good news, and whom also we have and believed. So then faith comes after that. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you hear the truth, hope comes, then you believe, then you receive. So the first thing that comes when you hear the word is hope, is your fill-in. Then faith comes and brings the hope into natural manifestations. So we're going to read about Abraham. You know, he's called the father of faith, or the father of our faith. And there's a reason for it. It's because of him, God was able to move and work in a new way. So it says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of, I think it's Damascus. And Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, no one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came. Okay, so we're going to stop for just a second. So Abraham was basically saying everything he saw. And from his heart, he was crying out to God, what do you mean? How are you going to bless me? You know, what I see is I have no offspring. You know, you've done all this for me, but for what? All of it's going to go, you know, to my servant, Eliezer, you know? And so, what? But then the word came, the word of the Lord came and saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Okay. All right. So he's got the word of the Lord on this now. Next verse. That's it. Okay. So basically, a lot of times we see only what's in the natural, and we don't think that it can change, that it's a fact that can't be changed. But with God, if you get the word of God on it, it can be changed. All right? So the first thing happens is you get the word of the Lord, then hope comes. So Abraham had no hope until God said. Now he has God's word on it. So hope has come. So let's go to Genesis 13, 14 through 17. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. Okay. So what God was trying to help him is get hope to arise in him and be built in him and fashioned in him. Right? Even though it didn't happen right away, but what he was doing, as he was walking, he goes, if I go to the north, you know, as I walk to the north, praise God, all this land is mine. Wow, God, all this is mine. But, you know, and then he walks to the east and the west and walks all this land and says, wow, this is all mine. And man, look at all this dust. You said that I would have as many, you know, offspring as the dust of the earth. He was trying to paint a picture in him, get his eyes of where he was now, because he was just a sojourner. He didn't have any land to call his own. He lived in tents and moved from here to there, right? But God said, so he was trying to paint a picture inside of him, in his heart, of something that is going to be that he had promised, all right? He's trying to get him to turn away from his natural circumstances, viewing his natural circumstances, and start looking at what he said and is possible inside of him. So let's go to Romans 4, 18 through 22. So this is what happened. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, and this is Abraham, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when it says, who contrary to hope, and Amplified says, human reason for hope. Basically, if he looked at his circumstances, he had no way of receiving what was promised in the natural. The only way he was going to receive this was from the Lord. And the Lord was trying to help him paint a picture in his heart and believe what he was saying in his heart first, right? Before he then in faith believed, and then it was counted to righteousness. So there's going to be circumstances in your life that you go to the doctor and the doctor says, this is your condition. You have diabetes, and unfortunately it's at this stage, so there's no reversing it. The only thing we can do is, you know, put you on medication or shots and things like that, and you've got to be on a strict diet and all these things, right? And in the natural, that's probably true, right? But you go to God with this and say, God, this is what they're saying, but I know in your word you've said this, that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, you know, that only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked, you know, which is sickness and disease and all these different things, because you made me the righteousness of God in Christ. I know all your benefits are that you heal all my sicknesses, all my diseases. So what do I need to do here? So what he wants you to do is get his word on it. And when he speaks that word to you, then you take it and you put it inside of you. You have to start seeing yourself that even though that the doctor said this and this is a fact, you have to start painting a picture inside of you of, no, what I'm going to believe in is what God says. So I'm going to picture myself that I am free. Free from diabetes or whatever sickness and disease that the doctor said you've got, right? I'm going to say, and then, you know, Abraham at some point started giving God glory even before it came, right? God, I'm giving you glory because I believe that I am going to receive this image that I painted according to your word in my heart, right? But see, the thing is right now, all that's hope. You're still in hope. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to build, architect, you know, I don't know what the right word to say. You're trying to draw out in your heart, you know, what God is going to pour into by faith. All right. So you're building in your heart. You're starting to see everything that God has spoken to you. Oh, wow. You know, maybe I'm dealing with this, but I know that I know that I know now that I was healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. By the stripes of Jesus. I see it. I know it. You know, even with the notion that comes that, oh, no, you know, the devil wants to come and say, no, you got, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know, and you're like, oh, no, I know that I know that I know I'm healed, you know, God said, right? And so I know that. So God, now I am ready to receive by faith. I am ready to receive by faith. Holy Spirit, now you breathe in Jesus' name. I thank you that I'm healed. I receive it now in Jesus' name. And so the Holy Spirit then builds, or he fulfills God's word, his plan, that architected plan inside of you. And then by faith, then you receive in the natural what was in the spirit. What was once a fact is not a fact anymore. The truth has trumped the fact. Because the Holy Spirit now has come and fulfilled his word. So, but God was trying to help Abraham. He was saying, instead of focusing on, I don't have an heir, he said, no, go out and count the stars. If you could count how many stars there is and it's impossible to do so, then you could actually number your offspring, those who are coming out of you, you know? So God is focused from his circumstances or the facts around him onto something else. And you're like, wow, man, I'm going to have that many descendants? Can you imagine? He's just, at night, he's just trying to count the stars, and he's just like, wow, this God, you're amazing. Wow, look at all this dust, you know, picking up the dust and trying to separate the dust. Oh my gosh, there's probably just in a handful, there's like a million, you know, pieces of dust here. He's trying to get his imagination off of, or his heart from what he sees out here. He was also seeing here, but now he's starting to see something different. Okay. So if you, this is says number one here, if what you see on the inside of you is exact the thing that you see on the outside of you, then what is on the outside will remain the same. If you can't see yourself healed, if you can't see yourself in that house that you're asking for, or that car you're asking for, or that new job that you're asking for, if you can't see that God has given this to you, or you've asked and you've got it already in your heart, and you know that you know that you know God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it, all these things, then you're not going to be able to receive. You've got to establish in your heart exactly what you're looking for and what you're wanting. And when you know that you're confident that you've got your answer here, then you ask, and then you will receive by faith, okay? Because faith is now. Hope is future. You're trying to build everything inside in your heart by hope, and then you reach out in faith, and then you step out in faith. Number two says, if you want to see something different on the outside, you have to change what you see on the inside. You've got to change what you see on the inside. Guys, we're looking at a church, right? There's a lot of seats that are empty. But you know, I'm praying and believing and in hope, I see this church full. Not only this church full, I see us moving to a bigger building. Right? That's what I see. I see it as clearly as I see you guys sitting there. Because I believe as I prayed and God has given me his word, and he says, because he said, this isn't my church. It's not your church. It's his church. So he is in control. He has a word on this. And he says this place will be full. Full enough to where we're going to have to go to a bigger place. But you know what? If you're inside, you're like, I just can't see it. Well, then it's never going to happen if it's dependent on you. But the promise has been given to me that what I see inside of me, I believe it. And I'm saying, God, I thank you for it. I'm giving you glory that this is your church. You're going to fill this church. Hallelujah. And I can't wait to see all the new brothers and sisters in here that we're going to be able to come together and rejoice and learn and grow in the love of God. Hallelujah. And show that and run out and show the love of God to our community, you know. But if you can't see it, you can't receive it. A lot of people hear the truth, but they can't see it on the inside. And then they try to pray and ask for it, and it never happens. There's a step they're missing. You have to have it built in your heart, and that you know, and then you reach out, or you ask, or you step out in faith. So, let's see. Hope, the F says, hope sustains faith. Once you release your faith in what you are hoping for, often there is a time frame before it is manifested. Hope is what sustains your faith until you see it manifested. So you see it in your heart. You know that you've got the word of God on it, and that you're thanking God for it. Hallelujah. I'm healed. I'm whole in every way. I thank you that we have a full church and even a bigger church coming, Lord. I thank you for it. I'm glorifying you for you even now. And I mean, in truth, from my heart is bursting, Lord. And just thanking you and praising you, God, for that, that this is a done deal, Lord. And I'm just asking that you move by your spirit to make this a reality in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you know? So, okay, now there's a time. If this all of a sudden I don't open my eyes and I'm seeing the seats filled, you know, there's going to be a time where God is now moving and working, because you built in your heart what a frame or you've told him what you're looking for, and then now you've put your faith out there, and now he is able to move by his spirit and his power to cause that to come to be. So let's read Romans 5 and 15 and 13. Yeah. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So in that waiting, there should be a whole lot of joy and peace going on. Now, the devil's going to try to get you off course and get your attention on something else so that you start thinking and believing in your heart something different than what God has promised, right? Don't give in. Keep thanking God, praising God. Stay in joy and peace, right, in believing until you see it in the natural. All right? And so that hope's, if you do this, then your hope will abound the whole time if you can stay in that joy and peace. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that that'll happen. So Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what we see? In 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or patience. Okay? Now there's going to be a time, well, praise God, this church is going to be full, and then we're going to have a problem. We're going to have to go, oh, we need a bigger place. You know, but God will do that too. You know, it's his church. He has a plan. And we just have to go, okay, God, what's your plan? What is your word on this, Lord? Where are we supposed to go? What building is it? We already know you've got a building in mind. We're just looking for your word on this, Lord, you know. And just, but once it's done, what happens? Well, we don't have to hope for that anymore. It's a reality. Hope then can be put aside. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples, okay? Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God is like. He didn't say it is. He said it is like. And he was trying to use things that they understood to try to help paint a picture in their heart of what the kingdom of God is. These are examples like this, all right? A cement form. Let's look at Hebrews 11:3 first. Maybe I missed that one there. Okay. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? So a cement form, right? What you do is, if you want a foundation built, you have to build a form first, right? A form is, they're going to come in there and they're going to put wood down, you know. If they want a circle, well, that form has to be a circle. If they need a square, then it needs to be a square. If it needs to be a rectangle, they need to build the form, right, as a rectangle. Once that form is built, then they call the cement company to come and pour the cement. All right? The cement gets poured, and then there's a time period before it dries. But once it dries, then you can stand on it. And it's become a reality. Something that you had planned for, right, by putting those forms in, has now been now something you can stand on. Then the forms, which is your hope, can then be taken away. Because now what you've hoped for has come to, or you hope for has come to pass. All right? So now you're standing on it. It's like, I was believing in hope. I was painting a picture in me. God, I'm free from diabetes in every way. Praise God, I don't have to take any more medication. Hallelujah. My feet don't hurt no more. You know, all these things, I'm like, I'm thanking God and glorifying God. And, you know, and so much so that I'm just overjoyed. God, I'm so glad you kicked the devil in the teeth and got him out of my life with this. You know, and I'm so overjoyed about that. So, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are fulfilling that by the power of your Spirit, that your Spirit is going to cause my body to line up with your word, which says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And so now I'm just going to keep thanking him and praising him. I'm going to stay in faith. Hope is there. But once I'm healed, then I don't need to have hope anymore. It's already done. Right? But you have to build the form. So God is not going to build the form for you. It is your job to build that form and see that in your heart first, and then call for God to come by the power of his Spirit because of his promise. He does it. All right, the next one says seeds at the store called God's promises. You know, I had taught. And I said, you like watermelon, right? All right, Rella, well, here's your watermelon. Enjoy. Now, in front of that package, there's a picture. It's a picture of a watermelon, right? But if you open that package, there's no watermelon in there, but there's a seed, all right? So that seed, what you have to do is there's instructions. You have to take it, and you have to plant it in soil and water it, and then it's going to grow, and eventually it's going to yield what it's promised, okay? So when you are taking the time to find out God's promise, right, because the promise is you're going to have a watermelon if you follow the instructions, and then eventually that watermelon is going to come, and you're going to be able to enjoy it, right? Well, it's the same thing. God's word, all his promises are seeds that you have to take the time to plant in your heart and let them start to grow. What that is like, you're starting to see and understand, and you're having a, you know, an expectation, you know, a hope, and just even in joy, and like, I know, oh my gosh, look at that plant. I know it's cool. I'm not just going to have one watermelon. It looks like, oh my, look at the flowers. Man, there's like 20, you know. That's just from that one seed? Oh my gosh, I'm going to be able to enjoy all this. Because God always does exceedingly abundantly. When we do our part, God loves to show off and do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think. But taking the seed, understanding the promises of God, and then planting in your heart, forming a picture in your heart of the end product, and then thanking God for it, and then saying, God, okay, now I see the watermelons. I thank you for them now. They're mine now that I get to enjoy. So I was thinking about this whole picture about God's store called God's Promises, or His Holy Bible, because basically, His Holy Bible is full of these promises. It's full of these seeds, right? But if you don't take them out of here and then follow the instructions and get them in your heart and start seeing them happening even before they actually happen, and thanking God for them even before. And then when faith arises, stepping out in faith and seeing and receiving what was promised. But I see, you're going through there and you're walking down the aisles of God's Promises store, and you're like, oh, there's healing and everything. Oh, I'll take some of that, And you go and check out, and there's God. God, I want this. Okay, let me ring you up, okay? Well, here's your receipt. And you look at the receipt, it says, paid in full by the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And you're like, so I don't have to pay anything for this? No, I love you so much, I want to give you everything. Everything in this whole store is yours. So search through that store, find whatever it is that you need out of the promise, and say, God, I want this. I want this, Lord. And I thank you, wow, that it was paid for, And God would say, if everyone in the whole world worked for a year and put all their wages together, they still couldn't buy what I'm giving you right now. Not even one of these promises, these seeds that are promises. But it was all paid for by the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Wow. So driving a car to a destination, all right, you get a call from God and saying, hey, I know right now you're in a really crummy house that's not meeting your needs, and, I have a new place for you. So what I need you to do, well, I'm going to describe it to you. It is a 3-bedroom. Right now you're in a 1-bedroom with 5 people. And I know you're struggling and everything, but I've got a 3-bedroom for you, and it's got 3 bathrooms. We're going from 1 bathroom to 3 bathrooms. Oh, you got 3 bedrooms from 1 bedroom. Oh, this is exciting, And it's in a great school area and all these things. So he's just talking to you and telling you all about this, and all of a sudden inside of you there's a picture being painted, And now if it was just anybody, calling like, who are you? Who are you? And I don't believe that you're going to do this for me. You can say everything you want, but I don't believe what you said you'll do. But the thing is we've got to understand is that God has called us and told us that he has a destination for us, something so much better, you know. And if we would believe in him and start looking in him and having that picture and saying, well, if God said it is so. So we should be able, you know, there's a positive expectation that God's going to do what he said. Like Abraham got to the point where he believed with all of his heart that God was going to do and could do what he had said. And so now he goes, okay, now I need you to get in your car. Here's the destination. Here's where your house is. So you get in your car and you punch in the address that God gave you, right? And the Holy Spirit says, all right. Go down this road, make a right, go down this way, and then keep going straight, and then all, dang it, you made a right, you know? And what's your GPS do? Well, the Holy Spirit does the same thing. It says recalculating, and then it goes, okay, make a U-turn, and come back over here, because a lot of times we think we know, you know, where we should go, or it doesn't make sense to go the way that God is telling us. But he's trying to get us to that destination. So there's going to be a time that we're, by faith, following after the Holy Spirit, all right? And he's that GPS that will get us where to that destination, okay? So that whole time you're traveling to that destination, you're in hope. But once you get to the destination and you walk in that door, you know, then hope stops. You've received what you've, you know, what the promise. So driving a car to a destination of what God has promised, all right, getting the car of hope, all right, and then painting that picture and making all, doing everything he asked us to do, and to the point where we're at the door and we're able to walk in and it be a reality in our lives. I hope that helps, because there's a lot going on in the spirit that we may not see and understand. It's almost like learning how to drive a car. When you first start driving the car, there is a lot of things to pay attention to. There's a lot of principles. There's a lot of laws. And it's almost overwhelming to try to think about and pay attention to everything you've got to pay attention to. But eventually, all that becomes internal, second nature, right? And then we're able to get in the car and go anywhere without fear or trepidation. Am I going to make it there? Why? Because you've taken the time to learn those principles. And the same thing, we have to learn these principles and laws of the kingdom so that we can drive to the promised destination, get there, knock on that door, and walk into the promise. So a lot of times, though, we stop on the way, or we make a misturn, or those things. But we got to know that it is a process. Some people, Price, and the way he jokes, he walks in one day and he goes, "Ha ha! Today we're going to learn the 365 steps on how to receive healing by faith." And I'm like, "What?" But you know what, guys? There is a lot of steps. There's a lot of things and principles that we have to understand, you know. It's almost like when we're born in the natural, we have to grow. We have to go to school, you know. We have to go through all these grades. Everything we learn, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. God's just the same way in the spirit. Paul said constantly, "You're still babes. You need to grow up." We're still having to teach you the first principles of Christ. By this time, you should be teachers. Instead, we're having to teach you more and more. I know this sounds like, wow, this is a lot to take in. Guys, you need to take this in. I understand these are principles that you need to learn, apply, get used to, so they're second nature, so that you can more easily get from where you are in the natural to where God has said you should be or have in the supernatural. Does that make sense? We need to be students of his word. We need to be learning the principles. We have to break out that driving manual so that we can pass the test. You know, well, this is our driving manual in the spirit. If you don't break this out and learn this and then pass, it's going to be very hard for you to walk in the things of God, even though they're all there. You know, as parents, we put a lot of pressure on our students to do well in the natural school, but we put hardly anything behind them learning the principles of the kingdom of God and His Word. And so we see them kind of succeeding in the natural, but they have unfulfilled lives and a lot of times disastrous lives because they majored on the natural and never spent any time on the spiritual principles, learning and growing in Christ so that they can fulfill what God has destined in their lives. So I'm going to conclude. So Mark 9 and 23 says, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All right, that's faith. Hope comes first, then faith. Faith then makes all things possible. All things possible. Hope comes. All the promises are in here. But when you take those promises and hope, paint a picture inside you, see and know that God has said yes, you know, and then you go forth until you see the promise fulfilled in your life. All right, so I hope this has helped you guys. It makes sense to